Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
Imagine, if you will, a president who acts like a child, taking a public stage and throwing temper tantrums for all to see, and everyone enables him and just lets him do whatever he wants. That sounds like something that couldn't possibly happen in real life. That's only something that you can find in the Twilight Zone. The Twilight Zone After Show starts now.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Yes, indeed. Welcome to the Trump Report. My apologies. Welcome to the Twilight Zone After Show. I am Christian Blatt. I feel like we only just did one of these, but it's because we did just do episode 4, and we're here now to talk about episode 5, the Wunderkind or Wunderkind. But I probably won't say it like that again. Joined by Angelica, no longer a traveler.
I mean, I'm still a Trey.
You're still a Trey. Yeah, that's true.
Hey, I'm Angelica Trey, you guys.
And of course, Raven.
Hello, guys. Welcome back.
Yeah. Where have you been? Right. What have you been up to the last
long
8 minutes?
Long time no see.
No, right. Long time no anything. Yeah, exactly. So. Like we always like to do here on the Twilight Zone After Show, we always like to just sort of go broad strokes overall what everyone thought of the episode. Raven, I'd like to let you go first this time.
Well, I mean, your opening hit it on the head with what the show...
Oh, yes, I am very smart, thank
yes.
you.
No, what no. What the just... show is about, but I was entertained.
It was entertaining, yeah.
I was entertained. On television, it's entertaining.
So you don't want to vote for the mother of an 11-year-old knowing that the 11-year-old would actually be president?
I do not.
See, I think that that's actually a little bit of, you know, we're going to dive into the at times heavy-handedness of the allegory for President Trump. But the, I'm going to put your mom on the ballot so that we all know that the kid's going to be president. To me, that was like... the idea that, you know, Dick Cheney ran George Bush's presidency. So I think they mm-hmm. were making, like, multiple mm-hmm. statements. It was mostly Trump. Mm-hmm. But I thought that that little bit of, like, oh, we'll just put you on the ballot, mm-hmm. Which I thought was interesting. I was wondering how they were going to address it when I knew that that's what the premise was of the episode. I'm like, I don't want to be that guy that pokes a hole in something, but you need to be 35 to be president, and 11's, like, not even close. I thought it was an entertaining ride. What did you think? A tray.
So I thought this episode, it was a very concise sort of message that it was definitely portraying. You know, just sort of the role of politics in terms of, you know, our current society and how people as a whole will respond to anything that seems authentic, that seems maybe likable, or... even just, I guess, along the lines of going back to authenticity and social media and sort of how that's been playing a role in our society as like a new thing. So almost like that Black Mirror type vibe in this one. Interesting episode. They did try to bring in some of the political layers there, but I think they kept it pretty light.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I think it was fun. I've always enjoyed John Cho. I thought he did a good job, you know, as, you know, I think that we're not supposed to really like him so much in the beginning because he's like, look at my book. Look at how great I am. And I'd like to live in a world where John Larroquette was president, but this was an episode where John Larroquette was only president for about 90 seconds and he yelled at him the whole time. But I thought it was interesting sort of, you know, building up because, I mean, that's sort of an allegory to another aspect of real world politics in that not to get overly political, but we have to when we talk about this particular episode. Hillary Clinton had this campaign manager kid named Robbie Mook, who was in his 20s. And, he said, why would you need to go to Wisconsin? Democrats always win Wisconsin. Hillary lost Wisconsin. So she didn't even go once. So I think that these are all things that they're very aware of mm-hmm. when they're doing it. Is just sort of like, he's basically that kind of a guy, but then you just sort of take it a little further where it's like, yeah, man, you had kind of a slam dunk. Although this one is set up as like, you know, in a lot of ways, John Larroquette's character was Trump because he's like, you're the most hated. He's the most hated president and I'm getting him reelected. Except, of course, you know, he didn't. Right. So I thought that was kind of interesting. But yeah, I mean, this is mostly, you know, saying like, well, and again, this would have only been something 10 years ago. You would have thought that this is crazy for the Twilight Zone. You know, you'd be like, well, this is only something that happened in the Twilight Zone. You know, I think somewhere within the last 15, 20 years, like the Simpsons had a joke about Donald Trump being president. And it was mm-hmm. a joke because it was that long ago. So now it's like, well, let's take it a little further. The ways that you get someone who is an outsider and is not someone with political experience and people support someone like that is very well highlighted here because you have a kid who's like got a really simple message. Who doesn't want free video? I don't even play video games, but if you're gonna give them to me for free.
I definitely was here for the long weekends.
Okay,
Long weekends. Yeah.
Voting for this kid.
Yeah, and more times with your sick pets.
Do you know how expensive a video game is?
I don't.
You get a new game out, that's $60. Okay, you
just
get,
for one game.
Just
okay.
for one game. So if you want. You want to go get that new, you know, Red Dead and that new Mortal Kombat. Yeah. You're spending over $100 there. And that's including only American prices, all right? You get over in Australia and the taxes are way higher for those. So, definitely a romantic sort of message.
Sounds like you would have voted.
I don't know if I would have voted for a young kid. And I'm not – I tend to favor experience over, you know, maybe – some very tempting, you know, promises.
I don't know. He had a pretty concise message, you know.
Yeah.
And he was gonna surround himself by smart people, including his little sister.
By smart people, and yeah. I think the big thing too is, you know, it was also a commentary I think on how the rise of maybe like social influencers as well, because this kid was a vlogger and. It makes it feel more intimate and you feel closer to those figures as well. And I know that's been sort of like a moving trend we've been, you know, shifting towards recently. So I could definitely see some of the different ties they were trying to pull in there, setting the whole Trump allegory aside.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And although, I mean, let's be honest, his videos weren't actually that good. You know, I just mean the production value. Like, come on, work a little harder, kid. You know, the one with all the dancers, I'm like, all right, but the song was terrible.
Thank you.
All right. At least I can get somebody to help me tear down an 11-year-old.
I was like,
but let's talk about Jordan Tremblay from Room. I thought he was great. Especially because of the way that the character shifts throughout the course of the episode, mm-hmm. where we, you know, you definitely see a change. And, mm-hmm. you know, even a very talented child actor doesn't necessarily have it in them to, you know, portray their character any way other than kind of one note. So I thought it was interesting. You know, you had sort of some of the flare-ups of like, oh, I don't want to see the doctors. You have the pressure of him on the debate stage, which, I don't think he should have been part of any debates, John Cho.
Oh, yeah, that debate. Yeah, they're like, how would kid just wing it? Yeah. This is a good idea. Yeah. Ask him about taxes.
Yeah, ask him about taxes. And he's
adult and I don't even know about taxes.
Well, that's what I was thinking. I'm just like, I don't want to talk about taxes. What I want to talk about is, you know,
cotton
and
candy.
Just like that, do what a real politician does. Yeah. When you don't want to talk about something, you shift it to, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, cotton candy would be great, by the way.
You know, taxes, those are crazy, man. But what's the deal with video games? Let's make them cheaper.
Let's talk about those long weekends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, look, you're really on board for the long weekends.
I'm on board for that as well. Doesn't that happen somewhere in another country? Don't
And here's what makes it here's what makes it you know, a truly political promise. He didn't actually say, is it a 3-day weekend, is it a 4-day weekend? It's just longer. Is it 2.5 days? Right. You know, is it like siesta time on Friday, everybody goes home, you know? I thought that they did a really good job kind of highlighting, you know, he had a lot of room to work with, Jordan Tremblay.
Yeah, I think, you know, of course, like, there's a lot of things where they take it to the extreme, you know, in this series so far. But one thing I thought was extremely far-fetched was how they gave the president ultimate power. And in all actuality, that's not really the case. They will be like, hey, that's not doable.
Yeah, like, because everybody around him is saying, like, well, you can't do that. Congress won't let you do that. Well, then fire Congress. Okay, but you can't do that, and you won't be able to do it. Right. I did think it was interesting that, you know, John Cho, Rafe, pulls aside his mother and is like, well, you know, you're really the president. You should really do something. No, this is exactly the way you said it was going to go. And it was funny to watch, you know, the way that he's just like, yeah, everybody needs to do what I say. Mm-hmm. I like when they brought in all the dogs and he's like, it's a girl dog.
Get them all out.
Yeah. And I think I misidentified. His name's Jacob Tremblay. I think I might have said Jordan because I was thinking of Jordan Peele. But what I wanted to say is that his little sister, Lily, played by Jacob Tremblay's little sister, Erica Tremblay. So I thought that was a nice touch. Yes, I had to find the names, though. That's how I realized I had said his name wrong.
His moment with, was it the commander-in-chief?
Mm-hmm. Well, he's a commander-in-chief, but the chief staff, the joint chiefs, the military guy.
You're talking about the moment where he had to go get a military parade.
I got to get a military parade for his sister's birthday.
I'm stressed out, man. It was a very likable moment. And honestly, he was like the Jack of the A Traveler episode. Oh, yeah. He was very suddenly relatable. And I was like, let's give him a spinoff show.
Yes, I'll be
And it doesn't take long when you confide in the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of, do you think we should do something about this guy? Yeah, so that's treason. And then the next time that Rafe goes in to see the president, he's like, so what are we going to do about this treason? Look at this, like, scary lighting that I had.
Yeah.
But before we actually talk about that scene, I want to talk about sort of the framing device for the episode, which is we see Rafe, John Cho's character. I think it might be Raph. That's all right. I think you might be Raph about that, but I'm going to say that I'm Rafe about that. We see that he's undergoing some kind of surgery throughout. What, Angelica, did you think? What do you think was going on? What do you think that was about when we first saw it?
Well, okay, so...
Because as we established last episode, you like to try and figure out where the show's going and write it all the way through to the end. So what was your ending to this?
So a little bit of a roundabout answer to this, because I did have a couple predictions. You know, obviously Raph Hanks' character kind of narrated over this episode a little bit, saying, I didn't expect... something kind of cryptic along the lines of, I didn't expect what would happen next or something like that. And my brain instantly went to some sort of, you know, gun situation. And I was like, oh, no, something's going to happen to this kid. And it turns out it was Raph all along. So yeah. I thought it was definitely something that was going to happen to the child.
I did actually think something, that, you know, they did a good job by saying, you know, this is from the president. I'm like, okay, the president is someone else who was like, I can't believe you, ran this kid and tried to, you know, run me out of town or whatever. So I think as the episode went along, I'm like, what did that little son of a bitch do to him? What did you think about that, Raven? About, you know, sort of the flash forward to Riff Raph going under surgery.
Initially, I actually thought he was dead already. And
that's fair.
That's what I thought. And then as it went on, there was a moment where he said, when he said it's from the president or something, he was like, oh, I'm fucked.
Yeah.
So I knew he did something. I knew in that moment, like, oh.
That's fair. Yeah, that's a good point.
It's something that he did. And so now I thought maybe he was like a guinea pig for something, or they were testing him for something, or just something random like that, or torturing him.
Well, they were testing to see if he was bulletproof. Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, I think not just Twilight Zone. You have sort of that kind of, you know, device of like something's going on, somebody's, you know, hurt in surgery, flashing back to what brought them there. Ultimately, the first flashback was to 5 years earlier, which is when we saw him on the earlier campaign. Before we move on, I believe, Raven, do you have something you'd like to share with the rest of the class?
I do, class. Co-host, I like to call you guys. Thank you guys for making us the ESPN of TV Talk. And if you're watching right now on YouTube, we need a favor to keep us going. We would like you to give us those thumbs up, stay in the chat, give us comments. If you're listening on iTunes, if you could go ahead and give us those 5 stars, we'd really appreciate it because we enjoy being here at AfterBuzz TV and you joining us. In order to keep it going, we need your help in those thumbs up and those 5 stars and those comments. So keep it going and we'll still be here. Thank you.
Thank you. So I don't know. I mean, I think a lot of times, let me put it a different way. Do you think if you'd seen this exact episode like this, if you'd seen it 10 years ago, it would be harder to believe that people would vote for an 11-year-old than maybe, say, it would be in 2019? Like, in 2009, would it have seemed like, oh, I can't imagine that ever happened? Is it easier to believe now, Raven, that people would vote for an 11-year-old?
Much easier. I am now under the belief that, just like the last episode before this one, humans will believe anything if you say it, and especially if you say it more than once, and especially if you believe it, even if it's not really true, just true to you, yeah. But not really true.
Yeah, so you're saying basically selling a lie can work in these cases.
Unfortunately.
Well, I mean, if you want to put it in the most basic terms, every politician is selling some degree of a lie. It just depends how big is the lie.
How right. dressed up it is. And right. in this case, not so dressed up.
Not so dressed up.
And it's that's what, like, I think swayed the people.
Yeah, they're just like, oh, you know, and I mean, we saw that even Raph gets played, you know, I pretended that my dog was sick. That's
yes,
pretty dark for this kid.
Which means his family was in on it.
Yeah, right. I mean, I think that that combined with the way that his mom just plays it off is like, mm-hmm. yeah, this is great. I get to live in the White House. What do I care what this kid does? Mm-hmm. You know? I thought that the sort of more surprisingly sinister element to it was definitely, I don't know, they wove it in really well. It wasn't too much too fast, you know? Mm-hmm. I think maybe the first half of the episode, you can see feeling bad for the kid when he melts down during the debate. You're like, okay, yeah, well, he shouldn't have been there. And then you're like, oh, well, his dog's dying. Okay. You know? And then all of that is really undone when you're just, you know, just getting the sense that, oh, this kid is acting like if an 11-year-old became president, you know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, because kids are dicks, you know? It doesn't necessarily get better when they're adults, but, you know, just the things that he wanted and the way that he treated all the people around him, I don't know. I think it was certainly interesting. But, Angelica, I want to ask you kind of the same question. Do you think this is a little bit of an easier concept to swallow now than it would have been, say, 10 years ago?
Well, I think in terms of, you know, I don't think it's really an easy concept to swallow now. I think obviously it's, you know, a bit of a hyperbole.
I mean, I would definitely vote for an 11-year-old next year. I just thought I'd give it a try.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure there are some sort of laws or something.
Well, I'll vote for an 11-year-old's mom.
Change the law.
Yeah. I feel like there's got to be a certain amount of time. Yeah, you have to be, I believe there are some sort of laws that presidents have to go through.
They only have to be
run.
35. That's right.
Have to be like a senator beforehand?
No. Because Donald Trump was a game show host and a real estate, a slumlord, depending on who you ask, or somebody who dealt in real estate. So, yeah, and I mean, Bill Clinton and George W. Bush were governors, you know. So there's no real prerequisite for it, you know? I mean,
you can't be an
American citizen.
Yeah, you do have to be an American citizen. Okay. So anybody who lived in California 15 years ago and thought we might get President Schwarzenegger, it's still not going to happen, unfortunately, for those of you. But also know that he's a Terminator, so we probably – I think we dodged a morphing metal bullet on that one. So so you think that it's just as hard to –
It's just as far-fetched
now as it would have been 10 years ago.
It's just an exaggeration, sure. I think, of the current situations that we've been seeing, you know, obviously with our recent president. And it's taking that to the extreme. I don't know if necessarily people would, elect a 11-year-old into office. But I do think that there definitely is some sort of, I guess, like, parallel statements that we can make here along those lines. And obviously I understand, like, okay, we get it. Trump acts kind of like a kid and has temper tantrums on Twitter a lot of times and things like that. So I think it was just sort of hitting the nail on the head there.
Yeah, I mean, between shows, I was reading from the way Vulture summarized this episode. It's in the vein of a lot of honestly forgettable Twilight Zone episodes where they make their point in the first couple minutes and then they spend the rest of the show hammering, as you said, that nail on the head, but just hammering the same nail again and again for 43 minutes where you're like, okay, we get it.
They're like, okay, but it gets worse. And you're like, well, yeah, but
how
got
much
it.
Worse? Like, no, it doesn't need to get much worse.
And they're like, no, but it gets worse. And then they start stripping the screw.
Yeah, right, exactly. And then it's like they're just bashing away at the wall.
And you're like, ow, it's hurting me now.
Well, you shouldn't have left your thumb there the whole time. Why did you do that?
I don't know. I didn't go to carpentry school.
Well, maybe you should. I do want to give credit to Alison Tolman, who I do think is a little bit underutilized here. I would have liked her to get a better – I would have liked her to have maybe turned up in a script where she could have done more. I think people know her from a bunch of things, but for me, I know her most from the TV version of Fargo. I thought that it was good that Raff had someone in his life who – at least cared a little bit about him.
A little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit, though, because she was, like a coworker slash rival. But, yeah, he didn't care that much about himself. He was just more interested in, getting back on top. And, he thought that this kid was his ticket. And, he kind of makes the point that he got swept up in what he was saying. Mm-hmm. And when he said that, I'm like, wait, what part? All right, Raven, I agree with you with the long weekends. But what was it? Which part of the free video games for everybody? Like, what was it that he said?
Well, he had a great line in this that I thought was funny. I think the mom called him an opportunist.
Yeah.
And he was like, of course I am.
Of course I am, yeah. I think you have to appreciate that, but, so let's talk about that scene at the end, which I don't think I quite saw it playing out that way. I also didn't realize we were quite that far in the episode when he starts playing golf with him. I thought there was going to be another scene. I thought that was setting up more. I thought it was interesting because, obviously if the president yells that he has a gun, I guess the Secret Service shoots first and asks questions later. But and then I thought it was a nice touch that they had the sort of on the street, person on the street interviews about people that talk about what a terrible person Raff was. It's like, oh my God, he's so treasonous. He tried to hurt that little boy, so it took, that wasn't the exact turn that I thought we were going to get. I don't think I thought that he was going to have him shot. I thought I did start to think this idea that came out earlier in this show that there was some kind of like experimentation, some kind of process or something. Angelica, what did you think about the way that scene unfolded as you were watching it? Was your ending better than that?
Well, my ending was, I was worried originally for little Oliver there to kind of find out what happens to him and sort of maybe Raff would go through a guilt trip. However, we did see Oliver take a bit of a dark turn there. And he somehow learned these insane, I don't know, like mischievous skills for turning on people and just, I guess, not valuing the people around him. And yeah, that scene definitely just solidified his, you know, Oliver, the president's downward spiral sort of into more moral gray zone area and temper tantrums and just getting what he wanted. And yeah, it reminded me a lot of what's the episode in Star Trek with the "there are four lights"? Like, he just wanted him to agree with him.
Yeah, the
where
Picard
was up against the Cardassians.
I hate that I got put on this. I can't remember the title of the episode, though.
I think it's oh, man, I'm blanking on it right now. The light, it's probably got light in the title.
I know. My co-hosts from, or at least one of my co-hosts from the Star Trek Discovery After Show was very disappointed in me if he knew that I couldn't come up with
the
name.
I'm disappointed in both of us right now, because I really like the Next Generation.
Yeah.
But it reminded me of that.
I'm going to pretend I'm more disappointed in you, but really. I'm way more disappointed in myself.
So definitely, you know, there was a moment kind of reminiscent of that where he was gathering the favor of everybody around him. He just wanted everyone to agree with him. And like a kid does, throwing temper tantrums and not really having regard for others around him. He just wanted Raph Hanks over here to agree. Found the title?
It's going to sound like I'm lying, but I had it in my head and I'm like, no, that's a different episode. It's called Chain of Command. And I really thought that was a different episode. And I was
Chain of Command.
I don't know why I thought that, because I'm remembering a different part of the storyline, which is Picard not being captain.
So, anyway,
this is the important part of this episode of our show, is that we make sure we get the title of the Next Generation episode.
Just for context, you guys, they're playing golf in this room, and little Oliver asks Raph Hanks to say a specific line, you know, to sort of be like, agree with me.
It's a hole in one.
Tell me I won. And Raph is, you know, trying to stay grounded here.
He's doing the thing that someone should have done earlier. Mm-hmm. I don't know, starting with maybe his parents.
Maybe.
Yeah. What happened to Dad?
Yeah, well, you know, Dad didn't really ever seem that invested in the whole thing. You know, he's like, oh, you know, I Googled you. That was all Dad did the whole episode, is that he Googled who Raph was, and he didn't like what he read.
Yeah, and all I could think of through this scene was, oh, man, what is this kid going to become if he gets reelected?
Well, you know, we do see a lot of things kind of carry through from episode to episode. So I'd like in a future episode if there's just a reference to the president or something, and we see him on TV. You know, I think the acceptance in a different episode that, like, oh, that's our 11-year-old president. You know, I think that'll be nice. What did you think, Raven, of the ending, that whole mini golf course scene?
Yeah,
there?
I didn't expect that at
all. Not that, no.
No, the way that it was, the way that the show is written, it seems like this was the kids and mom, at least, this was their plan all along, because his shift to being not nice is just quick. It's not like you tell him one thing and he's like, what, really? I can't do that? Well, why not? And then he kind of progressively becomes horrible. He just immediately, as soon as he got in the White House, shifted. So it's like, were they after him all along? In the moment where he says, no, Oliver, and the look on the kid's face,
yeah,
that was so good. I was like, this is a good kid. I didn't realize he was from Rome. I was like, where did they get this kid from? I thought that was really good, because he was like, just nonverbal. I'm like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah. No. I think he did a great job for something that was, you know, it's a fairly tall order, you know, to... Mm-hmm. There's a lot to this part, and, you know, honestly, I think parts for kid actors don't get written this well, because it just turned on Nickelodeon, and you kind of know what you're going to get out of a kid actor. I think they did an excellent job telling this this story. So often, as we've talked about on the show, it's a little bit more heavy-handed than I want it to be. I mean, I talked when we talked about episode 4, the amount of eye rolling I find myself doing, and, you know, this having him shot for disagreeing with him, and then the president, it's all okay, but then the kid doctor at the end, that's where I'm just like, I wish I had turned it off. I wish I didn't see the kid doctor. You know, I was like, I gotta get back to my video game. I'm like, well, did you let an 11-year-old write that? Because I was just like, I don't know how every episode, at some point I have to go, oh, come on. And that was it for me. Even for the Twilight Zone. You know, I would have rather his dog with dog cancer was the one that had in the little mask with the scalpel. Yeah, no old doctors. Well, don't worry. We got dog doctors.
Yeah, well, old apparently means under 15 years old something. Yeah,
I don't know. Angelica, am I being overly critical of kid doctor trying to remove a bullet or... is there something to what I'm saying?
The interesting part with that was I was originally when Raph Hanks wakes up and he looks and he sees the doctor, you know, hovering over him.
Yeah.
You got to go into surgery, he says. And I was like, oh, that's really interesting. This doctor is very young. I was like, oh, yeah, he is very young. Like, yeah. that's a nice little tie-in. And then they're like, just kidding. This doctor is actually 5 years younger, old, and he holds a knife like a scary axe murderer.
Right.
And you're like, oh, no. What have you done to us? So I think that part was just, you know, a little... What's the word I want? Because I don't want to say far-fetched again, because I think that's sort of the tone. Well, I know.
The problem is, like...
We came in with that tone, knowing it.
If we did a drinking game for how often on any of these episodes we said far-fetched or heavy-handed...
Right.
Well, we'd be drunk by now, especially because we did two episodes tonight.
It's more so that I was like, oh, that's nice. That is a very young doctor. He seems nice.
He does seem
and, nice. And, you know, then they bring in an even younger doctor, and he clearly doesn't seem very qualified. And that was a moment where, you know, I was just kind of like, okay, this is really, really unrealistic.
What if
suddenly
that had been only the... reveal within the reveal, you know, like those little Russian Matryoshka dolls.
And it's just a baby.
That's what I was going to say. The doctor's actually like
the
4 months
kid
old.
Picks up a
yeah,
tiny
he's like,
newborn
just
baby.
Kidding. I'm not the doctor.
And the baby's got like surgical.
Yeah, a little mask on.
Yeah, his little tiny baby hands are ready with some like operation toy tools.
You guys are writing a new show.
Yeah,
I don't know. Well, yeah, but yeah, I think the show I just wrote is a terrible one. But
and the baby's just like. Gaga. that's a proper fitting ending, I think, for the Twilight Zone.
Sometimes things go a little Gaga in Twilight Zone. And then they play Lady Gaga in the background.
Yeah.
But that's not the show that we had, thankfully, because as heavy-handed and far-fetched as it was, it wasn't quite that bad. But what did you think of... Kid Doctor. Yeah.
Well, I accept.
Which, by the way, my show would be called Baby Doctor. Nobody steal it. Anyway, go
nobody
ahead.
Steal it.
Baby Doctor.
I accepted the far fetch by this point. So,
okay.
You're like, I signed up for Twilight Zone. I'm in on far fetch. That's fine. That's
by
legitimate.
The way, my show's going to be called Doctor Baby.
Oh, damn it!
So you can't have it.
Yeah, right. And my show is
Baby
going
Doctor.
To be yeah. But my show will be on NBC. Yours will be on
ABC. Well, mine
It'll
yeah,
be
mine will be
time.
Yeah, same exact time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll see which one lasts.
We'll see.
We'll see which one
challenge
is the
accepted.
We'll see which one is the 30 Rock and which one is the Studio 60. We'll see. Anyway, it's just great reference from 14 years ago. But
that
older
he was
than the president
still alive was weird to me. I was like, oh.
Oh, that John Cho was still alive. Yeah. But it was very distracting his last name was Hanks because there's only – I know there's Colin Hanks, but whenever I hear Hanks, I only think of one person.
Yes.
I'm like, why is his last name Hanks? It's really distracting me. It's like I keep thinking of Tom Hanks. And I'm like, is this going to turn into Joe versus the Volcano at some point? I'm probably the only one who thought that. But I don't think we actually let you answer what you thought about Baby Doctor.
Oh, I didn't mind Baby Doctor. Because
oh, so you would watch my show.
She
but
said,
Dr. Baby.
She expected it.
Dr. Baby, you wouldn't watch.
No, I mean, Dr. Baby's great.
No, she's
Baby.
I believe she said Baby Doctor.
I didn't,
it's like
I
Grey's
don't
Anatomy, but with babies.
I was just surprised.
Star Drew in the chat anatomy. Points out that this could turn into Look Who's Talking, where the babies talk. And C. Torres says, Dr. Baby Gaga. Yeah, I mean, these are all.
Baby.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah. So all of it's well worth pursuing.
There was a moment in the beginning when John was the president, which is what I thought the show
John
was going to be about.
John Larroquette, yeah. I thought it was going
to
be a
little
bit. I
was so happy to see him.
I love him from Night Court.
Great
and,
acting.
Complete tangent, but look, we've got 11 minutes left. First celebrity that I ever saw when I first moved to L.A. was John Larroquette at the Farmer's Market. So
really?
I feel like an affinity for, hey, that's my first celebrity. So, but no, I always liked him. I thought he was great, and... What a great part for him to be the,
right. That's
the
what
angry,
I was like,
foul-mouthed
cool,
president.
This is going to work.
Yeah. But joke was on us, wasn't it, Raven?
It was. There was a moment he looked like Trump. They were standing in front of like a picture
of
him or something.
I mean, it was the whole idea that he was the most disliked president ever. And, you know, there was a lot of Trump alliteration throughout the course of the episode.
Allegories there.
I'm sort of scouring for this. I don't think there were I don't know that there were any Easter eggs in this episode at all. Now, I've sometimes missed them, but I usually have a sense for like, oh, okay, that's that. And let us know in the chat.
Right, because I was looking at the pictures and everything.
Yeah, if you're not watching live and you're watching the archive version, just go ahead and leave that in the chat, and we'll talk about it next Thursday.
Well, even
but
then,
I didn't see any. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I didn't mean to cut you off. Even then, you know, this episode kind of branched a little bit from the usual formula that we've been seeing so far, where we have been seeing a sort of racial social commentary, whereas this one was just purely... political. It wasn't even, you know, based around ageism or anything. It was more so just, hey, people will believe anything. And there's sort of not really too much along the lines of social or racial or any sort of commentary in that sense, but rather let's see how far we can take this allegory and just how far we can run with it.
I think that's why I was entertained more than... the others.
Yeah, and so it kind of broke a little bit from the usual formula.
Well, we stick to our formula here at the show, and it means it's time for me to ask what letter grade you would give this episode. Raven, I'm going to ask you first.
I will give it a B for baby doctor.
No,
Dr. Baby.
I was going to say, well, that means you have to give it a D. Do you want to give it a D for Dr. Baby? Do you feel that strongly?
I mean, I'm still feeling a bit of C here. So not a little, let's split
you
the difference.
You guys weren't at least entertained.
No.
I was entertained. I was watching them. I was
Look,
very
I don't
much
think
entertained.
You, I don't think you understand how much Dr. Baby really bothered me.
It didn't really leave me thinking much longer afterwards. It was like I parsed what information I needed from it, and then it played out, and I knew sort of what was going to happen. I knew what the commentary was, and going off of that, I was like, all right, I can walk away from this, and I kind of know everything that was packaged into it. It was straightforward.
Right. I firmly feel that this is in the, like, the C territory again. I think a lot of these episodes, it's a mostly entertaining roller coaster where the last few minutes of the roller coaster, it just goes straight and you're like, is there anything else? No, we're just, all right. And it's like what you see while you're on the roller coaster is sometimes largely disappointing. But I don't know. I think if it were to be a series of stories that I just didn't enjoy for the whole hour, that would be one thing. But I'm really finding the endings to be the ones that either I feel like are, you know, a little weak or just – I mean, in this case, it was just like, well, this is just stupid.
Right.
And it makes me long for the Nightmare at 30,000 Feet where they just beat poor Adam Scott to death with rocks, which I also think was terrible in case you didn't see that episode. But I don't know. I you know, it sounds like I don't enjoy the show, but look, I'm giving it a C.
Yeah.
You know?
Is there a show for you guys that was an A or a B?
Of this series? This, I think that the comedian might be a B.
Yeah.
I'd have to watch it again. But
I enjoyed that one as well.
But I think that would be the only one. And because with Nightmare at 30,000 Feet, it's like, what if I can grade it up until that part at the end, you know, if it's like mm-hmm. when the plane flies off into the clouds, if I can grade it up to that, I would probably have given it A minus, B plus. But once you have that scene, I'm like, oh, can I give it an F minus? So so that scene alone, I would give an F to. But I think the whole episode was probably below average. And
right.
Which is disappointing because I thought, look, the show looks great. They obviously spend a lot of money on it. It has great casting. Familiar faces or, you know, some of the actors you've never seen before are like, well, they're great, you know. I think that they, on the whole, they put together a good show. But it's just like, man, can't they give me a good ending? Which is what I'm hoping for episode 6. You know, we've got, what, 5 more episodes. So
right. I'm excited. I'm hopeful for the next 5 episodes.
Well, and the next one seems like it'll be a sci-fi feel from the
In space.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Are you going to sing that next week? Yes, are you going to write a song called it? Twilight Zone?
In space.
All right.
And I'll dance.
Yes.
Great. Well,
yes.
You know, and our friend Chaos J will be back next week. He was, let's say he was on assignment this week. That always sounds like he's doing something important.
We miss him.
Yeah, but it'll be great. This is an interesting show, too, because if you do the after show for this, you could very well, if you miss 2, you could just skip them and go right to episode 6. I think that
they're very standalone.
Yeah,
I agree.
Which I think works. But it is nice to see some of the nods to other episodes of this incarnation and also mm-hmm. to the classic series.
I think, you know, as far as they make these messages very straightforward in the episodes, the rewatchability is definitely in the Easter eggs.
Yeah.
One thing I would love to see a little bit more, just even with that last episode with Traveler, maybe a little bit more world building. I think what I like about a lot of maybe some of these like science fiction shows, or at least like the original series, is how you yourself are asking, you know, at the end, asking yourself, what would I do in this situation? And they make these characters so far-fetched and like specific that you're not left wondering that. And I would love to see a little bit more of that, like that character we can put ourselves into.
Yeah, I think that it's really hard to have put yourself into Raph's shoes because, any sensible person wouldn't get into the world of politics on that side of it. But then also you wouldn't think, like, here's how I'm going to rebuild my career.
Yes.
I'm going to run this 11-year-old.
So definitely relatability, I think, is maybe
I think
an
Yuka
issue here that we can build on, you know, sort of. Hopefully we'll see a little bit more of in the next few episodes, or just even world building.
Yeah.
I'd love to see.
I think Yuka in last week's episode was very relatable and well, up until a point, Adam Scott was relatable in the second episode. But
to have,
you know, because, you know, just imagine finding that that MP3 player and listening, like, wait, all these things are happening,
mm-hmm.
you know? So I
don't know why he didn't skip to the end. I would have skipped to the end.
Yeah, it would have helped.
I would have been like, all the way to the end.
but speaking of all the way to the end, we're now all the way to the end of this show, but we will be back. This is our new time slot now. We will be here Thursdays at 10 Pacific, and I realize that's 1 in the morning for those of you on the East Coast, so you can always subscribe, and the archive version will pop up. If you want to see us all on YouTube, great. If you want the audio-only version, you can do that on iTunes, Spotify, and all those places. Speaking of places, what are some of the places that people can find you? A-Trey?
They can find me. Yeah, okay, so
they
I'm Angelica Trey.
They can find me on space.
In space. On most platforms at A-Trey, A-Y-Y-T-R-A-E.
Wait, most platforms? Which
most
ones aren't you on?
Platforms. Twitch.
Snapchat?
Twitch, Twitter.
I don't know.
Instagram's Angelica Trey. So, like, the spelling of my name on here, I know, I'm the worst.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well,
YouTube's also A-Trey.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, baby.
Most platforms.
Baby Doctor's the worst.
Dr. Baby.
No. Okay, yeah, Dr. Baby is the worst.
Doctor,
mine's better.
No.
And Raven, where do people find you?
You can find me here on Mondays doing Gentleman Jack, and on Wednesdays doing The Act, and Thursdays here, and Raven French on all social media.
Oh, it's consistent.
Yes.
Something to think about, eh, Traveler? And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ChristianDMZ. And I'll do the same plug I did in our previous episode. That for those of you who are already, well, not right now watching it, but if you've already seen or will see over the weekend Avengers Endgame, we're doing a special episode of Marvel Movie News from the Popcorn Talk Network. That'll be Sunday at 7 Pacific, 10 Eastern. It'll be all the spoilers, so all the things that we have to keep off social media, we'll talk about on that show, and hopefully you can join us there. And then just 2 short hours later, back on AfterBuzz, I'll be doing Marvel TV Weekly. It's a lot of Marvel on Sunday nights. That's what we do. But that's all for now. Until next week, watch this. Stay in the zone. Not AutoZone. Twilight Zone. It's terrible. But anyway, thanks everybody for joining us.
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.